We're a desperate team that want to get back to playing finals footy.
Just try and enjoy the journey because it won't be there forever.
We're just trying to build respect and trying to change the perception around Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, this is just an absolute gift showing us where we need to work on.
Best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring.
Thinking, what have I done? You know, how did it happen?
You don't just give kids games because they're high draft picks. That's as simple as that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all to the Sanctum. We're going to get to Taylor Adams very shortly, but Sherelle McMahon is worthy of introduction around these parts. She's the world's greatest ever netballer, and she's a big part of our team. Sherelle, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we going?
We're going well. Lilac is good on you too, just by the way.
Lilac, yeah. I'm normally just a black.
You're just very black normally.
Very black.
Very black.
I think it just shocks people when I wear colour. So it's like, oh, that looks nice. Doesn't matter what colour I wear. It's like, ooh.
Did you freshen up after the bye weekend, did you?
Yes. A bit of a freshen up for the netball girls too. They stayed up on the Sunshine Coast. I came back home for family duties, as we spoke about last week. But they've had a bit of a freshen up, couple of days off, bit of a reset. Obviously, the first half of this year has not gone the way we wanted it to. So... There's been, you know, a lot of hard work done over that period of time too about how we really want to attack this second half of the year because we don't want it to go in the same way that it has done so far.
Very similar position to the Collingwood Football Club. Your mid-season break and situation hasn't gone perhaps to plan. You're wearing the black and white scarf today, which is a bit over the top, but
I
it's
like
nice
to do that when Taylor's
it's
coming.
It's nice that you're doing that for Taylor. Taylor Adams is with us. Hello, Tay.
Good morning. Thanks, Sherelle. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
support.
Look, I know. You know how much I love you, Taylor. So, you know, I just want to make sure you feel comfortable. Welcome.
Love it. I love it.
Mid-season break for the Magpies as well. There's been a fair bit happening in your world in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What's the last fortnight been like?
Well, last time I spoke to you guys, I actually didn't know the news surrounding
That's
Nathan.
That's right. You've done a session. You were sweating.
Yeah.
I remember this. You were at a circuit.
Yeah. And we went into a meeting that day, and then Bucks told us the news. So, things have obviously happened really quickly. It's been nice to have some time away from the footy club to just decompress after what was a fantastic win up in Sydney, and a good week to, let everything sink in. Enjoy the last week of being coached by Nathan. And then to go away and spend some time away from the footy club, we came back on Monday morning and it was good.
Now, when Sherelle has big news, or netball has big news, Sherelle normally tells us after it's been broken.
Mm.
She comes in here on the Wednesday morning, it breaks about 9 o'clock and she goes, oh yeah, I could have told you that. Mm. You did not know
Wednesday morning.
You had no idea it was coming.
No, and there's clearly a reason why the football club does that because things get out and whispers start happening.
Yeah.
Roddy and Bucks and the board kept it airtight, which was good. And it allowed Bucks to present to the group. And, you know, before, a journalist had a camera in our face as we walked into the football club. So it was really good. Obviously, he handled himself incredibly well. The press conference, but speaking to the group, it was really sad, but a guy that's always given so much and so much of himself, and he gave us a real honest reflection of where he was at and where the football club was at and how the decision was come to. And, from there it was almost like, all right, well, we've got a game to win this weekend and the guys had to go and prepare for that. So certainly a different week. The build-up to the game and even playing Melbourne at the SCG was certainly different for the club. But I thought internally we handled it really well and Nathan obviously handled it incredibly well. And it was great to see the guys get a win for him on his last game.
He's a class act, no doubt. Handled it magnificently. I'm interested just in a dynamic from a listener's perspective to go inside that room when Nathan has told you that he's going to be coaching for the last time at the SCG. And not so much what he said, but what happens after when Bucks and Righty go and you're sitting there as a playing group, what happens? What's the conversation like then? What's the mood like in those moments?
Well, I think the way that the Bucks presented and how he tried to make it as less somber as he possibly could. The guys obviously got around him and It was a weird vibe for the next couple of hours. We ended up having to do weights, and well, not having to do. We went and did our weights, and it gave guys opportunity to chat, to talk. Bucks was still at the club, so to get around him and have conversations, and yeah, I think the way that he handled it made it a lot easier, the whole process. So it meant that players could go and speak to him about it, and that, you know, he wasn't scared of what was to come. It was like I'm excited for what's ahead. You know, I'd love to be hanging around you guys for the remainder of the year, but I understand that may not be the best thing for the football club, and I'm here to do what is best for the football club. So as leaders, we went and caught up and immediately sort of had a chat about what, you know, how we could handle the week, and, you know, try to keep things as normal as possible so that we could go out there and perform on Monday. And you know, a lot of those guys that were sitting in that room as leaders had been with, well, coached under Nathan since either 2009 or 2012. So a long time building relationships with him, and you know, even our most senior players were a little bit rattled.
Yeah.
Did you get any sort of inclination when you went into the room that he was going to say what he was going to say? Was there a feeling that this could happen? Because certainly from the outside, we were surprised by the timing of it.
I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised. You know, clearly our season hasn't gone the way that we had planned it for it to go. And we knew that there was discussions happening between Bucks and the board and Roddy as GM. And yeah, I guess you never sort of walk into the football club thinking this is going to be the day that your coach decides to step away. And yeah, so I think it caught most of us by surprise. But in saying that, we knew that the decision hadn't been made as an ad hoc decision. It was really thought out. You know, the review of the football program by Roddy and the board was thorough. And they come to an agreement that the best thing was for Bucks to step away at that time, and for us to have a little bit of a fresh start and you know, try to, you know, I guess give guys a bit of blue sky ahead for the second half of the year and then for next year onwards.
We've asked you so many times about Nathan Buckley through your time in here, and there's been highs and there's been lows. It's just been the nature of your journey over the last 5 or 6 years. I'm not going to say, do you think they've made the right decision, but can you see the benefits of now how that opens up everything? Because you haven't been playing horrifically, but you've been playing a bit dour. Do you see it being this big lift of all sorts of pressure and all sorts of uncertainty that it could have a huge benefit on the football club, or is it just too early to tell?
I hope so. I don't think Nathan was the reason why our style was dour. We were, as we saw against Melbourne, you know, we were building to that point. And, you know, there's many reasons we had that sort of breakout game, and hopefully that our form can continue. I don't think too many things will change in terms of our coaching styles and our overall game plan. We wanted to score more. We've been trying to score more for the last 7 or 8 weeks, and we've seen patches where we've been able to do it. But again, you know, against Melbourne, obviously we brought the defensive pressure and were able to then break through and score pretty well. And we left a few out there as well. So I hope so. You know, time will tell. There's always, in anything like this, there's always positives and negatives. You know, he was a great mentor for many. I'm sure he still will be. He provided an opportunity for all players and staff to feel safe and valued. So, you know, he's left a great foundation for us to build on. I'm looking forward to what Harves can bring to the group. You know, he's got a unique way of coaching as well, and there's no doubt that he'll put his own little spin on things. And he's already mentioned that most of our game style will stay similar in terms of our defensive style and being really hard to play against in that aspect. He wants to see us score more, which, you know, we've been trying to do anyway, but he's got a few little tweaks that he'll bring in to help us do that.
Tay, that's kind of the practical side, the on-field reaction for you. What was your emotional reaction? Because, as Whitey said, we've spoken to you quite a lot over the last couple of years about Nathan, and you've always been incredibly supportive of him. What was your initial emotional reaction to the news?
Yeah, I was sad. I think the taking away the on-field stuff, just having someone like him around for support, for that mentorship, for guidance and leadership. He's been awesome in that aspect for me personally, and I think for the group. You'd ask most guys, and they'd say the same thing. So yeah, I was really sad. I think having that week to sort of let it all sink in. I travelled to Sydney, and being able to spend some time around him and his two boys, and around the group as we prepared to play that game, was really important. Not only for the group itself, but I found that really beneficial for myself to have that time away. It's been different. It's not like say goodbye sort of setup. It's in a professional sense, he won't be around the Collingwood Football Club any longer. But no doubt in the short term there'll be the text thrown out to ask for advice and to touch base.
Well, I mean, he's been such a huge part of the club for so many years, and now Robert Harvey does take the reins. Have you felt a shift already? Have you been at the club, or has that not happened because of the bye?
Yeah,
How's that fitted in?
Yeah, we spent Tuesday post the game last week at the club reviewing and sort of projecting forward. And then we've had the last 2 days at the footy club. As I said, the game style, especially our defensive structure and the way we play defensively won't change. Looking forward to seeing what we can do with ball in hand. I think Haas wants us to take a few more risks and play a little bit more aggressively, just to try to open up the game and score a little bit more. But we've been trying to do that for the last, as I said, 7 or 8 weeks. So there's no doubt that he'll coach differently to Nathan. He's got different philosophies. He presents to the group differently. He probably gives maybe more autonomy to his staff to coach more. And I guess that's the beauty of it. We've got a 9-week period. It's almost a bit of a free hit for our coaches to try a few things and experiment a little bit with players and just to see how much we can find out about guys and whether or not certain positions suit them. So it's really exciting. Bit of fresh air for the coaches as well. They can bring their fresh ideas to the table and see how we go with it.
So how much of the performance against Melbourne, I was going to say Sydney then, but it's in Sydney, Melbourne in Sydney, was the true Magpies and something you can replicate? And how much was it emotional high on the day? How much of it do you think is what you actually could be?
Oh, no, we've been building. We haven't been that far off that sort of performance. Clearly we played really well. It started with just our intent and intensity around the ball and our ability to defend them. They've been scoring at will against most teams and bullying teams around the ball, and we were able to match up with them, contest the ball and pressure. Our defense were able to, turn forward half turnovers into scores, and our ability to move the ball out of our back line without turning it over and giving them easy scores meant that we were able to build the ball and then take them on through the middle of the ground. And that's something that was probably the biggest difference.
Yep.
Our ability to find time and space to get someone out to make really easy decisions between the arcs, between the 250s, and then going inside forward 50, we had space. We moved the ball a little bit faster, played a little bit with a little bit more freedom. But that's what we've been trying to do over the last 7 or 8 weeks. And as I said, we've seen glimpses of it. I think what we did, we're able to consistently play that way over 4 quarters. And in the end, it was an arm wrestle that we were able to come out on top of. And one team had to break, and that's, against good teams, you just got to outlast them, and we're able to do that.
Yeah, and you're magnificent. And you mentioned there, interestingly enough, getting the ball out of defence with some efficiency and some power. Darcy Moore's a big part of that, and he won't be there for a bit, and we won't see Darcy for the rest of the year. How big a hole does that leave in the whole plan, in the whole system, when a guy like that who's so prominent isn't going to be there?
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult for us to fill immediately. Clearly, a player of his ability, his experience as well. He's played a lot of footy now, all Australian, heavily relied upon by our young guys down the back line. And I don't think you can, that sort of physical attributes that he has is one in a 100,000 sort of player, so it's going to be hard to replace him directly. The good thing about our defensive structure is that we do play team defence, so it means that we can cover in the back line. Obviously, Howie's not too far away as well, so he'll provide that a bit of stability for us when he gets back. But I'm not too sure exactly which way the selection panel will go this week in terms of trying to replace him, whether they go with a genuine key back or maybe a third tall and make our smaller boys play a little bit taller. We'll find that out tomorrow. But yeah, it's not a good result for us, having Darcy go out, that's for sure.
No, not ideal.
Now, what about you, Taylor? While you were talking, there was a big thing on the TV with you training and saying, you know, decision time. Will Taylor Adams play this weekend? Is he back?
How did I look?
Hey, you look quite good. You look quite good.
Yeah.
You're moving. You're offline running.
Yes.
What do you have to do? Because I believe you have to train tomorrow. What do you have to do?
I've sort of ticked it off yesterday, but there's still a session to get through tomorrow, so I'm really confident that I'll be right to play. That second injury that I had was nowhere near as bad as the first one. It was a lower grade tear in a different part of my medial. So, I'm preparing to play this week. We've given it enough time and I've put enough work in. So, looking forward to just training without thinking about it tomorrow, and then you know, being hopefully selected and playing on Saturday.
So, was it related? Take us through exactly what happened, because I think we're all a bit surprised that you're out again.
Mm.
I can't remember the last time we spoke to you, but we were...
It was the morning of Bucks' thing.
Oh, that's right.
On the phone.
Yeah, but that sort of... I still can't work out exactly how you did it, happened, and did you come back too early, or all those sorts of things.
Yeah, well, that was obviously the question that was asked immediately. And the short answer is no. The injury that I got was actually a new injury. In a different part of my medial. So the old injury you can see on a scan was still healing, but it was completely intact. So I had a really minor tear in my medial that would be probably a 2 to 3 weeker in isolation. But because of my other injury that was still healing, we gave it more time. I was just really unfortunate. The only way that I was going to injure my knee was if I wasn't planted on the ground and I wasn't able to support it with my quads and my glutes and everything else, and I unfortunately got hit as I was sort of in the air diving for a ground ball, and immediately I knew I'd done something. I knew it was different, it felt different, and I knew it wasn't as bad, and that was the reason why I was able to play out the game. I actually did it in the first 15 minutes of the game, and you know, everyone sort of come for myself for making that decision to play and the docs and that, but the end of the day, we had a discussion about it, and we would have made exactly the same decision leading into if I was in the same scenario again. So it's just bad luck, and that's what happens sometimes. I got back on the horse and tried to train as hard as I could in rehab and get my body right, and I'm looking forward to playing now. It feels like I think I've played one game in 10 weeks, so
right.
Yeah, I'm feeling really fresh mentally, and looking forward to getting out there and just having some fun.
Well, that game that you did come back and play, 29 disposals, so you came in and just didn't miss a beat. I mean, that for me is amazing to be able to do that. Do you feel like you're in that same headspace again, or do you feel like this... Is it playing on your mind, the second injury? How do you feel when you're running out there?
No, not at all at the moment.
Because it's a hard thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. When you've had an injury, particularly kind of a backup one like you've had.
Yeah, it is. It's... We're giving it time. I'm sort of not that sort of I don't really get too concerned about that. You know, if I happen to go re-injure it, so be it. I'll deal with it then. But no, I've put the work in. I'm feeling really good. You know, worked really hard on making sure that my levels of fitness are high and, you know, my body's strong. So, and mentally, you know, being able to sit back and watch the games in the coaches' boxes and, you know, throw ideas at Jamie Elliott and at Howie while we're watching games, and then being involved in all of our midfield meetings and all of our team meetings, I feel like I'm across exactly how I need to play for the team. And that was probably the difference coming back from my last injury. I just felt really clear on what my role was, and physically I was able to go out there and execute and play my role for the team. So I'm looking forward to doing that again.
Is your game a chance to be affected with the reschedule of this weekend?
I think everything is a chance at the moment.
More a timing thing as to what time it's played.
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to not being going ahead or different opposition, but just the time. And
yeah.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
No, we haven't heard yet. I expect that there'll be something come out today. Yeah, I haven't really been following it too much, to be honest. I'm just fingers crossed that everything goes okay and they can get on top of the Sydney outbreak. I know the Swans and the Giants got out of New South Wales yesterday, so there's clearly a lot happening. I've narrowed my focus into just getting myself right, a little bit selfishly, but looking forward to... We'll play at some point this Saturday, so I'll be there, Huff.
Is that a good way to approach it, though? Because obviously there'd be a lot of people around the club, around the league, that are looking for a long way further than that because they need to have lots of plans. But, you know, I know from our perspective, sometimes it's, okay, this week, this is what we're doing, we know what this is, and that's the mindset. Because that uncertainty, for someone who's likes to be in control. I know that you like that, and a lot of professional athletes do. It's one of the difficult things about the situation we're going through globally at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, the uncertainty is difficult. Everyone talks about controlling the controllables. I don't think Gil's going to listen to anything that I say. So
he loves the program. You have a crack.
Yeah, I'm kind of just sitting here waiting for a text to come through or confirmation to come through, and yeah, as I said, we'll play at some point on Saturday, whether it's at 1:10 or 4:35 or in the evening. I'm not too fussed, as long as I get the
play. As long as you get out there.
But it's probably a question for both Taylor and Sherelle around... I know that even just as a lover of this, a consumer, a spectator of the sport, it's tiresome just thinking about when games, if games are going to be played, where they're going to be played, and Huff and I obviously talk about it every morning, going through all the permutations. But for people that are actually inside the game, has it got to the point where you can't read up on it, or you can't, you know, watch the news, or you know, get online, or do whatever you do, because it starts to fatigue you?
There's definitely an element of COVID fatigue, that's for sure. What I think we've done really well as a footy club is sort of let, Righty, Shannon, who runs our COVID program, make sure that everything just ticks over and we're doing everything to the letter of the law. Let them handle it. Understand that they don't know at times. We'll control what we can control in terms of our training, our scheduling, making sure that we're always on time, doing the right thing. And then whatever's thrown at us, we just get it done. And we've shown that, you know, in our trip to Adelaide. We've shown that last weekend when we had to go up to Sydney and play up there. I really haven't heard anyone complain about much. And that includes our staff as well. And we highlighted that last week. Our staff had to drop, you know, our support staff, including physios, doctors, and myos and osteos that have got work outside the football club. They drop everything when they're told to, in their other professional lives to come up and come over and help us perform. And we understand that that's just part of reality at the moment. Get it done to the best of your ability. And we're on the road to win games. It's probably more difficult for Fremantle this weekend, given that, you know, they're traveling all the way from Perth to come over here and play with a little bit of unknown. So it hasn't been an easy 18 months in terms of the logistics of what's happening, but the mindset is something that we've really focused on and keep coming back to each other to make sure that we control what we can control, and that's the training standards and being as effective as possible.
And Big Brody, how's he tracking? What's his progress?
Good to go. Trained yesterday as well, and the big fella, after having his locks chopped off, looked 5 or 6 years younger, which is good for him. Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It's very thick hair, so it's probably 3 or 4 kilos as well.
Yeah. No, he's looking good. He's I think he's rejuvenated after the time away, and he's good to go. So
was he a bit rattled by the whole thing? Because it's an unusual thing, but that's a very dangerous area to be having problems with.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he had that an issue at training 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Where he was, I remember him being taken off on a stretcher with a neck brace on. So, obviously the club and the medicos took the cautious approach and got a second opinion, and that was to have a couple of weeks off, and probably good for him, just to rest up. He's played a lot of footy consecutively.
Yep.
Doesn't miss many games. So, looking forward to having him back. Obviously, he's a very good player for us and brings in some more experience.
Well, at this stage, it's 4:35 at Marvel Stadium. Collingwood and Freo. Check your local guides. We'll bring you as many updates as we can through the next couple of days because chances are there may be a change. We'll see what happens. But 4:35 at this stage, Marvel Stadium. And you get to see, if you're a Magpie supporter and you get in, whatever percentage you're allowed to have there at Marvel Stadium, you get to see the great Taylor Adams back. As we call him around here, the barometer for the Magpies. Great to see you, mate. Good luck on the weekend, however it looks. And we'll look forward to seeing you out there in the black and white stripes.
Thanks very much.
A bit to talk about with Taylor Adams in the inner sanctum this morning. A fair bit happening with the new coach. He's got his injury under control. Buck's gone. Mid-season break. We'll see what they can do for us in the back half of the year, the Magpies. We'll get to a break 28-8.